Well, welcome back, everybody, to YAF. We've been off-site for the summer. Had a great summer at the Curryharas, barbecuing together each week and hanging out. And now we're going to be back here for the rest of the year. So if this is your first time here, you picked a good week to come because we're just getting kicked off and there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of new things happening right now. It's kind of, even for those of us who aren't in school anymore, there's just something sad about the summer ending and the fall starting. Even though you're not going back to class, some of you maybe are, but even for those of us who aren't, it's like, oh, it's fall. I don't know why fall is disappointing, but it's just the summer's over. But there's a lot of new stuff happening around here. So, for example, I got a haircut this week, so that's new, and Tracy also got a haircut today, so way to go, Tracy. I saw her earlier today, and then she came to YAF, and she's like, hey, I'm like, hi, like, something's different, don't you notice? No, I don't. And I would have felt bad, except for the number of times that I've had that same conversation with Lindsay. So if I can't get that right with Lindsay, I'm sorry, Tracy. It's probably just not going to happen. We're in a new room, obviously. Got some new couches. We've got a pool table and a ping pong table. So lots of new stuff to take advantage of here. We've got a new logo. Look at that, everybody. Nock designed that. Way to go, Nock. New name tags as well. And if you're here and this is not your first time and you don't have a name tag, that was probably my fault. So fill out a card in the back, and if you're new for the first time, you can fill one out and we'll get you a name tag. But we've got that going on. We also have a new ministry team. So we have an MT, a ministry team at YAF that helps to do a whole bunch of different things. They help with a lot of the logistical stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff, but they're also here to be available to you guys. So most of them are here today. So I'm just going to list them off, and you guys can raise your hands so people know who you are. These are people who want to serve you. They've stepped up this year because they have a heart for service. You know, if there's something that you have to do that you don't want to do, you can find these people, and they'll do it for you. It's kind of how that works. So, Daw, you can raise your hand. Ken is here. Kyle's not here to serve, but he's on MT. Min Yao, she did announcements. Nathan, Sung, and Tiffany Lowe, who I don't believe is here tonight. So that's your ministry team for the year. So give it up for those guys. And a few other new faces that I wanted to mention as well. Eric and Janice Soderberg are sitting back here. You guys can raise your hands. They're not necessarily young adults. They're not old adults, but, you know, they're not here because they're young adults. They're here because they also want to love you guys and to be available for our community in whatever way would be helpful to us and whatever way would be helpful to you guys. So they're here to get to know you. So if you haven't met them, do go up and introduce yourself, and they're going to be hanging out with us a bit this year. A few other new things. I've been here for just about a year now. The end of this month will be a year, which is crazy. It's gone by really fast. And one of the questions that I got asked a number of times in sort of this first year by different people in YAF or people outside of the ministry was, what is your vision for YAF? What's your vision for the ministry? And I thought a lot about that, and it was a great question, and it got me thinking. And what I wanted to do as I was thinking about that question, what is a vision for YAF, is to take a few weeks in the beginning of the year here and to talk together about what is our vision. What's our mission, specifically as a young adult fellowship? What is it that we're after? What are we trying to do? So I took some time, and maybe you've noticed over the last several months that you've been here, that there's always sort of a descriptive sentence at the beginning that our announcement person gives for who we are. And when Minyao gave that today, it was different than it was before. Maybe some of you noticed that. Most of you probably didn't. That's okay. We're going to talk more about that. But I took some time getting input from other people to come up with a new mission statement, a new vision statement for the ministry to help us think about who are we and what are we trying to do. So we're going to take the next 3 weeks to go through that and to refocus together. And the reason I'm calling it refocus is because it's not a restart, right? When I got here a year ago, things were going really well, which was awesome for me. Paul had done a great job. You guys had done a great job. Things were really healthy. It's a great place for me to step into. But as I thought about YAF and what we are, there's a lot of different things that we do. And there's a lot of different things that we do well. There's a lot of different things that we could do that we're not doing. So as I was thinking about our community, what I wanted to do was to refocus us, to help us think about what is most important, what kind of makes us who we are, what is it that we're trying to do. So we're going to take 3 weeks to talk about exactly that. And there's three questions that we're going to answer over the course of these 3 weeks. What, why, and how? Pretty simple, right? What, why, and how? We're going to look at one of these questions each week. So what is our goal? Think about this as our destination. Where are we headed? What are we after? What's our goal? Why should we meet as a young adult fellowship? So what's our motivation, and specifically our motivation for meeting together as young adults? Because we're part of PBC, and we come to PBC on Sundays, and some of us are in small groups or we're in Bible studies. We have a lot of things that we're doing that are involved with church, so why take time on a Thursday night to come here and to gather together as a young adult fellowship? So that's what we're going to look at next week. And then how? How do we accomplish our vision? After we've figured out what we're doing and why we're doing it, how do we actually go about doing that? So that's what we're going to take the next 3 weeks, so we start off the fall, to think about these things and hopefully to set the tone for us for the rest of the year and even moving forward. So as I was getting ready for this, I'm thinking about mission and vision, and in the corporate world, you know, and in other places too, I suppose, everyone has a mission statement and a vision statement. And I'm like, okay, what in the world is a mission statement, and how is it similar to or different than a vision statement, and do we need both or what? And I don't know. So I just came up with a sentence and I'm like, this is what we have. But then I went back to kind of read about what are these things and why are they helpful. And there's a couple of differences between a vision statement and a mission statement in a company or in a ministry like this. A vision statement is about the future. A vision statement is looking forward and saying, what are we hoping happens in the future? Right? What are we after? What are we moving towards? And it answers the questions, what and why. So that's why we're going to look at those two questions the first 2 weeks. What and why, as we think about our vision. Where are we headed? If we could hope for any certain set of outcomes as a group, what would they be? That's our vision. And a mission statement is more focused on the present and asking, how do we actualize our vision? This picture that we have of what we want, how do we actually try to get us from where we are to that point? So it actually worked out pretty well. After I came up with this sentence, it's actually two sentences, I looked at it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of a vision statement and a mission statement. Like, the first one's vision, the second one's mission. This is perfect. So unintentional, but perfect. Absolutely perfect. So if you think otherwise, you can talk to me later. But please don't say anything. It'd be very embarrassing. So this is a sentence, the sentences that Minyao read earlier for us. YAF is a group of young adults striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. We do this by gathering for worship, living in community, serving our church, and loving our world. So in these statements, we've got both vision and mission, right? We have both, what are we after? We're after becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. And how do we get there? What does it take? What are the things that we're doing to help us get from here to there? And certainly this is not an exhaustive list, but I think it sums it up well to say that we do this by gathering for worship, living in community, serving our church, and loving our world. So those are the things that we're going to look at in the next several weeks. But tonight the question is what? And specifically, what is our goal? As we think about a vision, as we think about this thing that we're headed towards, what is that? First, a couple things of what it's not, because it could be lots of things. It's helpful to figure out what are we not going after. One of them is we're not a group of people trying to better ourselves, right? That's kind of what a gym is for, right? You go to work out and to feel better and to look better, right? You're trying to improve on yourself. We don't come here, we don't gather together to better ourselves, right? We hope that that's one of the byproducts, that part of what we do is we actually become better people by being here. But that's not the goal. That's not the primary thing that we're after. We're also not here, and this might come as a surprise to some of you, we're not here to help you find a spouse. So if that's a surprise, if you showed up here thinking that that's what this group was about, you don't have to leave now. But that's not our primary goal. Now again, if that happens, that's okay. And that has happened with some of the people in this room. If that happens, that's okay. You know, that's great. But that's not our primary goal for meeting here. That's not the primary thing we're after, Another thing that we're not, a thing that's not the goal, is community. And this is something that, as I've talked with people about YAF and asked, why do you come here? Or what are you looking for in a young adult fellowship? This is the most common answer, is people say community. And I want to say, community is great, and I hope that we find that we develop and cultivate strong, deep, Christ-centered community, but community is not the thing that we're after. And if we do find the thing that we're after, community is going to be an essential part of that. But we're not here to make friends, primarily, as our primary goal. We're not here to come up with a group of people that we can hang out with on the weekends. We're not here to find people who will keep us accountable. Again, all of those things, great things, and I hope that they do happen here. But if community becomes our purpose and the thing that we're after, we say we're a young adult fellowship because we want to create strong community, then we're off track. Rather, the thing that we're after, our goal, our purpose, is that we are striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. We're striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what I want to look at. And I want to look at it by kind of going backwards through this little phrase, striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if we work our way back, the first thing that I want to say is Jesus, right? That this sentence ends with Jesus, but we want to start with Jesus. That Jesus is really the reason that we're here. So if we were to summarize this whole thing into just one word, it would be Jesus. Because Jesus is the center of everything. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:15 through 20, there's this beautiful poetic description of who Jesus is. And what we learn there is that Jesus is involved in every aspect of life and of the church, in that he is at the center of it. It says that all things that were created by him, through him, and for him. All things that were created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. So everything that exists in the world exists because of Jesus, and it exists for Jesus. And the other thing that those verses point out is that that's true on sort of a cosmic level in all of creation, but it's especially true with the church. That the church is something that's created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. And if we forget about this, or if we don't start here, if we don't start with him as the foundation, then we're already going to be off track. Because Jesus is necessarily, and we must intentionally make an effort for him to remain at the center of everything. And that includes our personal lives, and that includes our fellowship of young adults, that we want Jesus to be at the center. So that's the most important thing about this phrase. The most important thing about what we do is Jesus. Then we work our way back again. Followers. We're going to skip of. We don't have to talk about that. Followers. So we are followers of Jesus. We're not leaders. And this is a bit hard for some people to grasp, right? I think our culture makes it hard because we value leadership. We value people who take charge and who plow forward. We value entrepreneurs, things, people that are doing new things, and people are following them. And certainly the church is a place where leaders belong, and we want lots of strong leaders in the church. But leaders in the church and leaders in our group, they're not leaders with a capital L, right? They're not the leader. We only have one leader, and that leader is Jesus. So my role, the role of our ministry team, and the role of anyone in this community who would consider themselves a leader in some way, is to lead first by looking to Jesus. First by saying, am I personally following Jesus in my life? We all want to ask ourselves that question. And then as a ministry, as a group, are we following Jesus? Are we being obedient to his commands? And he's given us commands, both individually for our lives, but also corporately for our community. So we want to look at what are the commands that Jesus gives to us? What are the commands that he gives to the church, to the people of God? And are we following those things that he asks us to? If we're not, then we know we've gotten off track and we're not going to get to where we want to be. Working our way back again, the next thing is fully devoted. We want to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. So by this, what I mean is that there are lots of things in life that vie for our attention, that try to grab our attention, that try to distract us. And there are a lot of important things in life that we need to be giving our time to, right? Your jobs, your school, your family, relationships, friendships, all of these things are valuable things that they demand our time. But the risk is that these things can somehow take part of the place that Jesus is supposed to have in our lives. It's like if we want to maybe be devoted to Jesus with 80% of our lives, that's a good percentage, 80% of our lives, but then I've got 20% of me that's devoted to work. We might say, well, that's pretty good. Like 80-20, you're doing pretty well. But if that's the way that we think about the way that we follow Jesus, what we're missing is that if we are fully devoted, if we're following Jesus with all of our devotion, all of our effort, all of our attention, that doesn't exclude time for work. It doesn't exclude time for relationships. It doesn't exclude time for school. It just changes the way that we think about those things. So now all of those different things that we have in life that, if we're honest, take up most of our time, most of the things that we do are not directly being at church or meeting with your small group. Most of your time is taken up by these other things. But if we recognize that being fully devoted followers of Jesus means that all of our devotion goes to Jesus and all of these other things are in service of our pursuit of Jesus. So it's not that work is no longer important, but it's that it's not as important as following Jesus. And it's not that relationships are not important, it's just that they're not as important as your relationship with Jesus. And if that relationship is first, and if he is the one who is getting all of your devotion, then all of these other things, you approach them with a different lens. And work doesn't just become, how can I get my job done to impress my boss so that I can move up, so that I can fulfill this dream of a career that I have. But instead it becomes, how can I use my gifts and my passions and the position that I find myself in and the relationships that I have, the influence that I have, how can I use those things in service to Christ? So I'm still working just as hard at work. I'm still putting in just as many hours, probably, maybe not in every case, but I'm still working hard at that. But my goal now is no longer found in the work itself, the ultimate goal, but in the way that that helps us in service to Christ. So we don't want these other things in life to distract us from our relationship with God, to get in the way from us following Jesus. We want them to help with that, to add more dimension to the way that we think about our role as disciples. That we're not just disciples when we're reading the Bible or when we're at church or when we're worshiping. That we are disciples when we're at work and when we're at school and when we're at home and when we're talking with our neighbors and when we're having conversations with our families. All of these things are wrapped up in our role as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. And if we keep our devotion on Him, then we're able to do all of these things, to continue doing them, but to do them in service to Jesus. Coming back to the beginning then, striving. Striving. We are striving to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And the reason that I put this word in here is because this is an ongoing process that we never fully arrive at. And if the bar is here, if this is where we're trying to go, if we set our vision as becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus, that would be a vision that there's nothing that we could do to find ourselves in that position 1 year from now, or 2 years from now, or 30 years from now. There's nothing that we could do that would result in us being fully devoted. Most likely. Maybe some of you are an exception. I don't know. But that's the way that I feel in my life. That there's nothing I could do where I could get all of my devotion 100% of the time always on Jesus. But this is something that I strive after. That's the goal that's out there, and I always want to be moving closer to it. I always want to be taking one step closer to full devotion. And if there's something that I find in my life that's distracting me from that, then I want to address that. And I want to take care of that issue. So that over time, that 1 year from now, when I look back on this year, I find, you know what, I actually am closer to realizing this vision than I was a year ago. There's things in my life that have changed where I can say, in this way, and in this way, and in this way, I am now a better disciple of Christ. I am now a more faithful or more devoted follower of Jesus. My life looks like Jesus more this year than it did last year in these specific ways, because this is something that I was striving after. This is something that I was moving towards. As I was thinking through this statement and through this vision, and I was thinking about characters in the Bible that we find pursuing this, that we might be able to learn something from. And the person that I kept coming back to was Peter. I want to talk about Peter for a little bit tonight. Peter's a great guy. He's great. He is, if you read about Peter in the Gospels, I think the word that probably stands out in this is that striving, because he's clearly never there. He clearly never makes it. He clearly never has anything together. He's always saying and doing things that he shouldn't be doing, but he's striving. And at the end, we see that he's a lot closer than he was at the beginning. So with Peter's life, we get this really interesting bookends of stories. The first story that we have about Peter and the last story that we have, both of them involve Peter fishing in a boat with some other people and Jesus coming, and he says something and they catch a lot of fish, and we see that there's this interesting happens at the beginning and happens at the end. It's like, wow, that's really strange. So the first part, the first story that happens is in Luke chapter 5. And what happens here is Jesus is, he's going to do some teaching. So he comes, he hasn't called Peter or Simon, as he's called in this story. He hasn't called him as a disciple yet. He's just a fisherman. And Jesus comes to the shore, and he needs a better vantage point for teaching all these people. So he gets in the boat so that he can get a little bit farther out from shore and do some teaching out there, and people will be able to hear him better. What's happened before this, though, is that Peter has been up all night fishing, and he has not had a successful night of fishing. So Jesus tells him, now remember, Peter's a fisherman. Peter's a professional fisherman. Jesus, he's a carpenter. He doesn't have any expertise in fishing, but he ventures to give Peter some fishing advice, and tells him to just go a little bit deeper, just go a little bit deeper and try again. Peter's like, okay, fine. So he moves the boat deeper, he throws the nets in, and they catch all of these fish. It's an amazing amount of fish, so much that it's like weighing the boat down. Now, what's interesting, what I want to look at, is the way that Peter responds when this happens. Maybe. There we go. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus. So all these fish that are being caught, this miracle that just happened. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." So what Peter realized in this moment, this is kind of his first interaction with Jesus, is he recognizes something very important about Jesus. That Jesus is not just another dude. He's not just another random carpenter. That this guy, there's something very unique about this guy. And if at this time he didn't realize that he was God, if he didn't realize that, he realized that he was from God, that he was a man of God and an important one. And his response is fear. He's scared. He says, "Get away from me, because I'm a sinner and I honestly don't feel comfortable in your presence right now." The way that Jesus responds is he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Then what we see at the end of the story is that they pull the boats out, Simon, a few other disciples, and they followed Jesus. They followed him. So he has this interaction with Jesus where he learns something about Jesus, and his response is to follow Jesus. And this is the beginning of his journey as a disciple. This is the beginning of his attempt at becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. His first step is just to start following, to start moving. And this is what he does here. Now, if we follow Peter's life kind of through the rest of the Gospels, what we see is that it's full of high highs and low lows. So he does things like step out of the boat and walk on the water and have enough faith for a time to be standing on the water with Jesus. And then he looks at the waves and he loses faith and he starts to sink. We have this high high and this low low. We have this other point where nobody has understood who Jesus is. Nobody has really been able to pin him down. What is this guy? What's he about? And Jesus asks this question, and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give these different answers. And then he says, but to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter is the guy who speaks up and he gets it right. And he says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." He got it right. He understood who Jesus was when nobody else did. And in the book of Mark in particular, this is a huge turning point in Jesus' ministry. Everything, it's at this point that Jesus starts going to Jerusalem, that he starts moving towards his death, is when Peter figures out who is Jesus. So it's this high, high. But what happens after that is right after that, Jesus starts to tell his disciples for the first time how he's going to go and he's going to suffer and he's going to die. And Peter says, "Lord, may it never be." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? He calls him Satan. He's just like, high, high. And the next, like, two paragraphs later, Peter's Satan. And this is like his life. It's like high highs and low lows. In the last week of Jesus' life, during the Last Supper, Jesus is talking about what's about to happen. And he tells all of his disciples, you all are going to betray me. You're all going to abandon me. None of you will stay faithful to me. And Peter says, "Lord, I will. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you." And Jesus says, "You're going to. You're going to three times before the rooster crows. And what happens? Peter denies him three times. And that happens. And it's this high from this time with Jesus in that upper room to this low. And this is just Peter's life, right? It probably happened more times than this. We know from the Gospels there are other high points and low points. But these are just some of the things that Peter, he gets spot on. It looks like he's really progressing in that attempt to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And then something happens and he finds himself at this low where he's thinking, man, I've got so much growing to do. I'm so far away from that. But then the way the Gospel of John ends is with this other story about Peter, this fisherman. And again, in John 21, he finds himself in a boat, and they've been out all night fishing again, and they haven't had a successful night. I'm not sure what to make of this. Maybe Peter wasn't a very good fisherman, and every time he went out, he was out all night and didn't catch anything. I don't know. We only hear about it happening twice. The second time is after the resurrection, and they see this guy on the shore, and they don't know who he is. So Jesus offers some expert fishing advice again. This time it's not go deeper, right? That worked once. Let's not push our luck. So he says, throw your nets down on the other side of the boat. So, okay, that's going to make a lot of difference, right? So they throw their nets down on the other side of the boat, and they catch all of these fish, so many fish, 153, John tells us. I don't know why he tells us that, but 153 fish. And then this is what I love. This is what happens next. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. So they recognize that this is Jesus on the shore. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So he's like, he sees Jesus on the shore. He's so excited to go and be with him, to follow him, that he wraps up his garment, and he jumps into the water. And then it says, oh, the other disciples, they just followed in the boat because they were only 100 yards off the shore. So Peter could have just waited, but he's so excited to see Jesus that he cannot help but just jump in. And he's like, I got to get to Jesus as fast as I can. And probably what happens is he ends up getting back in the boat and going in because that was faster than swimming the 100 yards. But he's just like, he's so excited. He's like, I have to be with Jesus. He's just blessed me again. I need to be close to him. I need to be with him. So he just jumps in the boat, falls after him. And then they share this nice breakfast on the beach. Very nice scene. And then we have this conclusion to the Gospel of John that is just so amazing. Peter, this guy who's had so many high highs and low lows, who's shown that he's striving, but at times it just looks like he's not making very much progress. And Jesus pulls him aside, and three times he says, Simon, do you love me? Three times he asks him. And each time, Simon, Peter, says, you know that I love you. Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And he asks him three times because he knew that Peter had denied him three times. And he was making very clear that the fact that Peter had fallen, that he had failed in the most critical moment, in the most critical way, Jesus wants him to know that he has not disowned him. He has not abandoned him. That he still has plans for him as a disciple. So this is after the third time, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Then he tells Peter this. He says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you did not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So at the end of Peter's life, Jesus wants him to know that in his sight, in Jesus' sight, Peter has been restored. That Jesus is not looking at the ways that he's fallen, that he's failed over the years, but what he wants him to know is that you are still a disciple, that you still have a role to play. And he gives him this statement about how he's going to die, which in one sense is like very depressing and like, man, to hear that would be so discouraging. But I think for Peter, this would have been incredibly encouraging. Because what he's hearing from Jesus is that in the end, you are not going to abandon me. You are not going to forsake me. You are actually going to give your life to me. That's how much progress you are going to make, even from where you are now until the point that you die. As we think about our lives, as I think about my life, I find myself in Peter's position a lot of times, striving to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I'm giving my time to this, my attention to this. It's something I want to happen. And yet so many times I fall short. And I'm just like, I'm just striving, and I'm striving, and I'm striving. And I feel like I'm not making much progress. And sometimes I feel like I'm making great progress, and then other times not so much. And this was Peter's life. But Jesus wants us to know that what he cares about is not the progress, strictly speaking. Right? It's not how devoted we are, strictly speaking. Right? What he cares about is that we are pursuing him, that we're moving in the right direction, that we are giving ourselves more and more to him each and every day. That's what he asks of us. That's what he asks of Peter. And as he saw that in Peter, he gave him this slightly disturbing but also very encouraging comment about the faithfulness that he was going to carry on for the rest of his life. I want that to be our goal as a young adult fellowship. Right? As we think about what are we after, what's our goal, what are we pursuing, we are trying to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And along the way, we're going to find that we aren't making as much progress as we want in some seasons. And in other seasons, God might bless us, and there would be a lot of progress that's made, and that's great, and those are going to be the high highs, but there's going to be some low lows probably too, for us as a community and for us as individuals. And the key is, in those high highs, not to think, wow, we are so amazing, right? We must be doing things right because things are going great, people are showing up, and people are giving their lives to Jesus, and this is so amazing, we must be amazing. Right? That's not what we want to do in the highs. That's kind of what Peter started to do sometimes. And it's what caused him to fall into those lows. But also, when we're in those lows, we don't want to look at ourselves and say, we failed. We're worthless. We should just give up. Things aren't going well. It feels like we're just running into a wall over and over again. What's going on? In those times, both corporately and individually, what we want to do is say, okay, something's off right now. But we want to redirect ourselves. We want to turn our attention back to Jesus. We want to start taking steps forward in devoting ourselves fully to him. And if we do that as individuals and as a community, I get super excited about what we could become in the future, about the people that you could become, and that the things that we could do as a fellowship. If we keep Jesus as our goal, and if we keep striving after him as the thing that we're trying to do on a daily basis, I think that God wants to amaze us, to blow us away with the things that he wants to do in and through each one of us and through our community. So this is what we're going to, we want to have this idea in mind throughout the year. This is the thing that we're after, and we want it to be guiding all of our decisions. And as we do that, I know that God's going to bless us. So let me just ask him to do that now. Ask that he would bless us as we strive after him. Jesus, we're thankful that we have this story about Peter, who so often gets things wrong and also got things right in amazing ways, but that you didn't view him through a lens of his successes and failures, but instead you looked at him as your child, and you said, just follow me. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to follow you. We want to pursue you. We want to give our whole selves to you. We want to give our whole community to you. We want to be pursuing after you with all that we are and all that we have. And we know that we can't do that as well as we would like or as well as you would like. So we ask that you would help us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill each and every one of us, that you would fill our community, that you would empower us to become more like Jesus, to be doing your will on this earth, and that you would just blow us away with the blessing that flows out of that, with the results that we see, with lives that are transformed by your power, that we would just be blown away as we watch you work in and through us. That's our prayer, Lord. That's what we ask. So I want to lift this year to you. I want to ask that you would pour out your blessing on us, that you would change us from the inside out, that you would help us to stay focused on you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.